Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Arsenal running riot over Tottenham at an ecstatic stadium. Manchester City and Pep finally getting one over on Chelsea and Tuchel. Manchester United dropping all 3 points to Villa after Bruno Fernandes missed penalty. Brentford and Liverpool playing out a 6-goal thriller, and Raúl Jiménez finally gets on track on the score sheet for Wolves. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode. All right, my friend, another very informative bunch of games in the Premier League, mate. A few defining kind of games, big matchups. And I guess the one we're going to start with, Rob, the North London Derby, and a feel-good factor around the Emirates that I'm struggling to remember back when we last had it that good. Arsenal 3, Tottenham Hotspur 1. 3 goals in Arsenal for the first 45 minutes, or the first 34 minutes, to be more accurate, Rob. And a really, really strong showing from Arsenal Football Club. And are we finally starting to see the fruits of the work, the fruits of the labour, We knew it was going to be a big transitional kind of moment for Mikel Arteta. He's taken a ton of flack from everybody, it seems like, almost everybody in the media, Rob, about how it started for Arsenal and Mikel Arteta. Are we starting to see what it's going to be all about for Arsenal?
I think you're right. I think Olo said in commentary, a rebirth of Arsenal, and Graham was so sort of said, let's temper that down a little bit. But what I do think, Rob, there are real positive steps in the right direction. Today, in a big game, in a North London derby, where it was a really important game for both these teams, for Arsenal to show that 1-0 wins against Burnley and Norwich were better than maybe the results showed. For Spurs to show that having won the first three games 1-0 and then lost the last couples, conceding 3 goals, that they're better than that. It was like a day of proving something in the North London derby. And the biggest compliment I can give to Mikel Arteta's team was they were prepared to do what was required to win the game. And the system worked well. They brought Xhaka in to have two holding midfield players. He played the three young players in front of him, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, who I want to talk about separately, and Saka, and Aubameyang up top. And they brought a life, they brought an energy, they brought intensity. Before you get to X's and O's and systems and all those things that are intricate, just wanting to win a football game, a big derby game at home, one team were up for it. And I said on air, Rob, one team looked like they were a testimonial or a charity game, like strolling around, not really too interested. I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing from Tottenham. And that's to take nothing away from how well Arsenal started the game and how good the football was in that first period of the first half.
Yeah, I think Spurs, and we'll get on to Spurs, look like they're unsure of what's going on, what the manager wants. You know, certain players looking out of sorts. And Arsenal finally look like they know what they're trying to do. And the message has got across from the manager now. We know that this is going to be a very new team. This is... When you look through the lineup, Rob, it's kind of new. It's new. Goalkeeper, Ben White, Tomiyasu. Odegaard was there, but again, new into the team. Aubameyang playing as a centre forward is a little bit new. Normally plays on the left-hand side. I'm quite pleased for Mikel Arteta, because I think he took an incredible amount, and it's the one thing going through my mind, of slack and of hammer in those first few weeks, when he didn't even put the team out with his new players that he brought in, Rob. Now, the last three games has been, Ramsdale's been in the side, Tomiyasu's in the side, you know, the Lokonga's had plenty of minutes. Now we're starting to see what he wants. And the signings that, again, were questioned, Rob, from lots of people. Oh, he spent all this money, but we've got five players, and should we have gone for more quality? And it was a bit, nah, with some of the signings. Again, it's early doors, and Graham's probably right. And this isn't, of course, the, you know, it's not a new flipping amazing Arsenal from here on in. But at least we're seeing the new signings in the team playing well, good shape, good organisation. You're right. That should be taken for granted, Rob, the desire and the effort and everything else in these games, but it hasn't always been. So, I just thought it was bright. It was good football that Arsenal fans want. Players, the young players, the future of the football club, and those three you talked about, I mean, they're looking comfortable. And there's also a versatility there, Rob. We saw in the last game, Martin Odegaard played in the middle of the park. It was brilliant in the last game that they played. So lots of good signs. Finally, Arteta smiling. Finally, the Emirates, like, jumping at the end. And I feel good for them, mate, because we take a little bit of, you know, we got friends that are Arsenal fans, Rob, and we get a little bit of social media stuff and like, oh, you only spoke, you know, about Arsenal for a couple of minutes. And I feel like, well, yeah, there you go. When there's reason to talk about Arsenal, and we'll do it on the bad times and the good times.
Yeah.
And today, time to talk about them and spend some time, because it was a good performance and a bright looking team that's got to be exciting, Rob, for the future.
Yeah, and one of the things that came across to me, Rob, was they felt the right mixture of outstanding youth potential and some good pros around them. Thomas Partey, Rob, we did a piece on the tactics board about his role and how just a bit more disciplined he is, and he reads danger quite well, and he blocks holes between the centre backs. Xhaka was more considered and wasn't as emotional as we've seen him, and that would bet, I think, playing with Partey will help him. Aubameyang, Rob, looked more like the centre forward we know who can get 20 goals. He's a threat over the top. He can bring players in the game. He can rotate positions. He's got great skills. I mean, the flick for the Smith Rowe ball that he ends up scoring is a beautiful bit of centre forward play. Now, if he can become the leader of that group and take them under his wing, and he talked to, in his press conference after the game, about enjoying being with these kids, and when it's right, he tries to give them help and advice. That's the right kind of mix as we go forward. And then Ben White's growing into becoming, I think, understanding what playing at Arsenal means. Gabriel's been a bonus next to him because consistency from him and a good partner's helping. And even the goalkeeper. Now, I wasn't so keen on the goalkeeper. Three clean sheets in three games, all competitions before today. Two in the League One, in the League Cup. Pulls off a brilliant save at 3-1 when it just might have made things a little bit nervous. And I tell you what, the other thing that I was impressed with him, Rob, his confidence and sometimes bravery to play out of the back.
Yeah. And he made one bad ball, Robert.
He made one bad ball, yeah.
Ball.
But
which is going
to
happen.
You might have to get through that, you know, in the course of a game. If that's only one, that's actually not too bad a number.
Yeah. Just on something you said there, Rob, about Aubameyang and stuff. Now, about him being a leader and a captain. And I don't know whether he is going to be that guy, Rob, that's going to nurture these young players and really mentor them a little bit, Rob.
After the game, I don't know if you saw what he's saying. He said,
"No, I didn't see." What did he say?
Yeah, so it was Smith Rowe and him who did the interview at Sky, our partners in the UK, and he was asked about the game, and whatever. And he said, "What's great for me now is these three young players. It's great training with them." He said, When it's the right time, I try and give them advice, but I let them be themselves. And I just thought that's a step forward in what we've seen from him. And it's almost as though he's been reignited by what they've brought underneath him. Their quality and speed of play and creativity is actually making him look a good player again.
Yeah, I've always believed in Aubameyang. I just think he's a class striker. He's done it for season after season. Again, people, he had a little quiet period. He signed the big contract and people kind of thought that maybe that's it for him. He's happy and he's just going to... I'm a big fan of his. And I'd like to see him play as a centre-forward. Took his goal really, really well. Yeah. Second goal for Arsenal today. Gabriel, Rob, another player you want to touch on.
Yeah.
You talk about potential leaders. I think he's a potential leader, Rob. Again, Arlo and Cummins talked about the record that Arsenal have in the Premier League when he's played, goals conceded, pretty good. I think he is such an important player, such an important player for this back four, a new look back four. I think Ben White, you're absolutely right, different sort of player to Gabriel. But the more games that Ben White can go through, Rob, and there's no drama, and they keep and they're winning games, and there's no spotlight on Ben White. He needs reps for me at this level, at that club. And that's, I mean, that's a step up from Brighton.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the more no drama Ben White games, he will benefit that, and he will start to ease in to be a really important part of this back four. Tomiyasu, the new right back, I think the fans love his energy. Again, it's very easy to go overboard when it's such a good performance. I'm not going overboard. I'm just pleased that the Arsenal fans are starting to see slight and like, it's not, you know, they're not going to go on and flip and finish in the top four, but there's progression, mate. Isn't it something that I or we have always said, Rob, is that with these new managers, these big clubs, and it's a big project in inverted commas, that there's still got to be signs of progress. No matter how kind of low it looks, you've got to have a sense of things is there are going in the right direction. And now I think the Arsenal fans will start to believe that.
And it was interesting. We were talking in the studio after the game as we were leaving, and just saying that I hope they have the Thomas Frank approach to things, like 24 hours. Enjoy this for 24 hours. Enjoy the game. Enjoy what you've done. And then get back to work. Get back to what's required. Get back to the training ground. Get back to knowing that if we do all the things right in the week, these are the kind of performances that come at the weekend. What they don't want is too much over-celebration.
Do you think it was too much at the end, Rob? That's what I wanted to write down and ask you about. There was a lot at the end. What do you think?
It kind of felt okay to me, Rob, because I think some of that is fans back in the stadium, the first Northland derby since the pandemic, great win at home, and, you know, a pressure game. I kind of feel today is a pass, is an okay. I know what you mean, though. You can go overboard with that stuff, and that can be destructive as well. I'm giving it today, but I want them to make sure Monday's training is back to work, back to doing the job, because this has to become consistency now for more. So that's the key to success for Mikel Arteta, where he starts to know what he's going to get. Of course, you have better days and players have great moments in matches. But once we can start to say what the consistency is, what we expect from Arsenal, then we're going to really see some changes in this team start to be part of that top six and hopefully back to the top four.
Yeah, I thought it was great to see, actually. You know, Arteta's had a lot to deal with over the last couple of months, 3 months, really. And I think it's something you're seeing quite a bit. We're going to go on to talk about Brentford and Thomas Frank and all that. But I think it's something that you're seeing around different stadiums. Maybe it's because the fans are back in the stadium. But I think the connection is kind of important between the manager and the players and the fans. And I think when you get opportunity to kind of appreciate their support over difficult times,
It was nice with Arteta as well, because he's very considered normally, isn't he? We don't really see too much emotion from him. And today it came out. Lots it came out it. Well. And as you say, I thought there were some really good shots there that endear him to the fans. I think the connection, like you say, that the Klopps have and the Tuchels have. And Mikel Arteta. So it was a great day for him. Let's turn the spotlight on the other team, Rob, the team in white, who didn't particularly start so well. 3-0 down, as you say, in 35 minutes. I mean, Nuno's come out after the game and talked a little bit. I don't know, again, if you heard him, sort of said it wasn't so much the system, it was more the players, the way they played it, which was a very sort of Nuno version of chucking them one or two players under the bus.
He's still learning, Rob. He is learning a lot about what he's got. And to go into a North London derby in a midfield three of Højbjerg, of course, you'd have him in this game. Dele and Ndombele was risky. And the first three goals, Robbie Earl, and if I was in the studio, I think you broke down the first goal in terms of those midfield players. Yeah. Each goal, the Spurs midfield were nowhere. If one of them, Højbjerg was close, but still behind the play. It wasn't goal-side of the ball. Yeah, yeah. That midfield was so empty, it was embarrassing. and it shouldn't happen. And I wasn't surprised that Skip came on midfield. And I don't even know why. What Oliver Skip's done wrong, by the way. Yeah, and apologise if he's got some kind of knock that we haven't, I don't know about. I thought he was a good part of the first few games for them. He came in, made it look better. But their midfield, like Dele and Ndombele's desire to help. I mean, Dele, Rob, I think we both appreciate what he can do. And previous managers, of course, Jose Mourinho may disagree with our thoughts on Dele. And he might be right. He might be right. The Dele is for whatever reason, is not prepared to put in the hard yards to do things that he's got to do in the middle of the park. Now, there's been games where he's done it. The first couple of games, remember he was in there?
Yeah, he played the left side of the really field, good. Didn't he?
The left side of the three.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, and again, I know Ndombele is a great footballer, creative, but if you're not, if you don't match, and you don't defensively have some sort of responsibility to help your back four, it's going to be a disaster. I thought the midfield was shocking today for Spurs.
It was interesting because Oliver Smart came on at half-time.
Skip,
Skip even. Came on at half-time. And it was a really interesting look. So Nuno was talking to him about position. You're virtually saying, you know, you play next to Højbjerg, and obviously Ndombele had a little bit more of a free. So he inverted the three that he started with. And the look on Skip's face was, and I've been there, Rob, and I know the look, and I know the thing. It was almost like, well, you put me on now with 3-0 down. Why didn't you start me? Was the look all over his face. I know people say I'm reading into that. Let me tell you, I know that look because I've been that player before now where you haven't played, you're a little bit upset, and then the team are down, and then the manager chucks you on. You think, well great. What, we're 3-0 down, you want me to go and win the game? And some of that has to fall on Nuno, Rob. If I know he's finding out, but it's a big North London derby. If you can't trust Dele Alli, if you can't trust him, Rob, then don't gamble on him in a North London derby. I mean, My point goes further, and I think we might have had this discussion a little while ago. I look at the Spurs lineup, and there's too many people I don't know about, Rob. I don't know if they're with me, really, when it gets tough. Reguilón, Sanchez, Dier, Dele, Lucas Moura to a certain degree. I don't particularly put him there. And then Ndombele. Rob, I don't know. We've had different managers who've had different looks at them. We've tried different systems with them. We've tried different management with them. We're still asking the same question. It was like when we used to talk about Chris Smalling and Phil Jones. And if you say, why we keep asking, are they good enough for Manchester United? The reason we're having this discussion is because they aren't. I'm not sure if at some point somebody's going to have to make a decision on Dele. Are we going to keep remembering Dele Alli? The guy who flipped over the head at Crystal Palace, scored the goal and was brilliant in that. Or is it really the real Dele Alli now? Somebody who can only play at 60, 70% of that. And then the real intensity of red-hot games gets blown away.
Let me just move in a slightly different direction, Rob. I'm going to take you higher, right, at this football club. Daniel Levy decisions. Number one, to hire Jose Mourinho. Number two, to stop Harry Kane moving. Number three, to hire Nuno Espirito Santo. Now, there's been some big decisions, Rob, at that football club to take over from Pochettino, to bring in Mourinho.
That didn't sack in Poch in there as well.
Right, yeah. And so bringing in Mourinho didn't work. The summer, Harry Kane, the stubbornness. So £150 million, unrealistic figure. We could have sold him for reports, say £120 million, and the way that Kane's performing right now. And of course, the Nuno situation where different managers were touted, nobody seemed wanted to come, and you end up with Nuno. Is the hierarchy at Spurs, if you listen to a lot of Spurs fans, Rob, they will, and it, you know, it's been a little, again, like, and I'll say this quickly, Rob, like some of the comments we get, and it's really hard to know every heartbeat of every club. So people will tell us, and the stuff we hear about Spurs, that, you know, we can't, it's impossible to be that close to 20 Premier League clubs when you're in it week in, week out. But a lot of criticism goes to Daniel Levy in the football club, where when you look at it from a little bit more from the outside, which is us, what amazing training ground. You know, you got to Chelsea final not long ago. You have a brand new stadium. Like, Has he done that bad a job? I'm just throwing it back to you, Rob, that maybe this is part of it. Big decisions on the football side have not always been good ones.
No. Listen, it's always easy to look at those decisions and wait till the end. The Jose Mourinho didn't work. I didn't think it was a bad choice. I thought it might be what they needed. We all said this is a team with potential. It needs to get over the line. Needs to be pushed, as you said. Jose Mourinho's as good as it is at that or has been in the past. Didn't work. Wasn't the right fit. Ended up, you know, him losing a job before he goes to a League Cup final that he might have won. Who knows what would have happened. But as ever, people said it was toxic. The Harry Kane thing, I think we slightly disagree on that one in terms of, yes, it's okay to say, let's spend the money. What if we got the money, couldn't buy the players we wanted? Would we be any better? I'm not so sure on that one. I think we can agree to disagree that he did the right thing he felt for the football club. Nuno is interesting. The three wins in the first three games, I think we're looking at it thinking, this might not be bad. Good, he's a decent coach. He's been seventh twice in the league with Wolves. He works with players. He's a training ground player. I think what we've seen today is, and it's interesting you touched on it because something we did in the studio, is this group of players set up to do what Nuno wants? And are they going to be prepared to play the way he's had success, which maybe he can do at Wolves, but I'm not sure is as easy to do at Tottenham. Give the opposition the ball, sit back, and we'll wait for times to counter-attack.
I think, of course, like most sensible, maybe neutrals of this, would say, listen, he's got to give him time, Rob. Nuno needs time.
Sure, yeah.
It's like Arteta. I don't think it's quite as big as a job, Rob. I think there's better parts and less kind of bad apples in this squad. Yeah. Could be wrong, but I think he needs time, Rob, to figure out how he wants to play, who is reliable, trusted players will be, and try and find a way back to, you know, getting those victories and the clean sheets. Everything with Nuno, I think, starts with good defensive situation, Rob. So I think he's been, you know, I think there's some criticism a few games ago, Rob, where there's nothing creative.
Yeah,
it was against Chelsea, and then he's gone with Ndombele, and he's gone a little bit more the other side, and now he's been battered three goals, isn't it, in the last?
Yeah. Three in the last three,
they've conceded nine goals in the last three. Mm-hmm. So it's work in progress. But it was just summarising, Rob, what a fun game it was.
Oh, brilliant game.
I mean, North London Derby, you know, it's whichever stadium, there'd be great atmospheres in both stadiums, but it was Arsenal's day and they deserve it. And in some ways, I'm pleased for Arteta to get, you know, a little bit of momentum going now for him.
Can I finish you off quickly on Harry Kane? 11 goals in North London derbies, the record. We did a little bit room chat this morning about Harry and where he is mentally and has the summer affected him. You know, there's a lot of talk about he's only had 10 touches in the box over the first part of the season, obviously yet to score. Had a couple of good looks today. He's had a header. He's had a shot that goes the wrong side of the post, which he normally scores. I thought he should have got a penalty kick. His team should have earned a penalty kick and he would have probably taken it. He doesn't quite look himself, Rob, does he? I mean, I know people are always looking at body language and reasons to say he doesn't quite look in the right spot at the moment.
I think so, Rob. It's so difficult. Isn't it difficult to judge a player when the team's not transitioning a little bit? He gave the ball away, Rob, didn't he, for the third goal as well. Messing around with the ball in a deeper position there. Yeah, I just got to imagine it's got to be pretty tough when he wants that move that he wants and he's got to kind of get on with it again. And we all assumed, by the way, that he's such a good pro and he went back into training and that he'd be absolutely fine. But maybe he's not. He's difficult to read, Rob, isn't he? He's not one of those, right, that wears his heart on the sleeve. You can see how they are emotionally. You know, maybe the body language, you can read it a little bit, but he's not easy to read. He's a class player. It's just tough. It's a tough one. I would think if you just put yourself in a situation, Rob, and I'm trying to do the same thing, it's got to be
an agreement
with the owner, and they say, you know what, you can't. I would think I would find it really almost impossible to believe that his short term form isn't affected by what happened in the summer. I would just find it incredibly difficult, you know.
Yeah, well, it looks like the cleaners just come out of the air. But yeah, we'll obviously keep an eye on Harry Kane, see how things transpire over there. Obviously, desperate to get his first goal. I'm sure when he gets one, he'll get flying again. Let's move it on, mate, to the other big game. Actually, you haven't done your underappreciated performer of the week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got so excited, so carried away.
I'm going to give you time, and obviously it's a bit of a giveaway. Probably nobody in the Spurs camp.
Well, no. My underappreciated performer of the weekend is Mikel Arteta. I think I've said basically the reasons for that, with the criticism, the stick, the people wanting him out of the position before he got his players into the team. So I just think that he has been underappreciated. I'm not saying he's a world beater of a manager. I just think, like, come on, give this guy a little bit of time and before you start, like, shouting him out of his position. So well done, Mikel Arteta. Yeah. Underappreciated performer of the weekend. Now you can move on, mate.
Let's move on to Chelsea 0, Manchester City 1. So the reigning title winners beating the reigning Champions League winners in reverse of that game. And Thomas Tuchel had got, was it three victories against Pep, was looking to turn that four. His team are at home. His team are in good form. His team slightly changed his team a little bit, played the three in the midfield, two up front, Werner and Lukaku, with his back three and wing-backs. And in the end, came out a bit of a poor second, Rob, in this game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they got battered, really. What 1-0 is very kind to Chelsea. My main headlines for Man City is this obviously is what we expected from, in terms of the lineup, from Pep in the Champions League final. A defensive midfield player played alongside a creative that was Bernardo Silva. You had the two players, Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne, and Rob, both playing as kind of false nines. dropping in. What they'd done in the Champions League up to the final, where it all changed. Jesus played on the right-hand side. Jack Grealish, obviously, is a good player, played on the left-hand side. And from the start to pretty much the finish, City were up for it, Rob. They were up for it, absolutely up for it. The football, the passing was superb. Really, really good football without getting the breakthrough at half-time. And Chelsea had a couple of looks on the counter-attack, small looks, but it was dominated by Man City. It's just there was a part of me that thought, okay, you know, where's the kind of the penetration part? And when the goal came, Jesus gets the goal, clever little turn in the box, little deflection goes into corner net. That was the breakthrough, Rob. And then after that, Chelsea had to come out a little bit. And City were just good value. You know, just when you think, it's similar to last year, just when you think, oh, City, are they going to, you know, are they really going to drive again to win this title? They reminded everybody that may have doubted them is that when they're on and when everybody's kind of fit, and you had De Bruyne in the side, you had Phil Foden's back in the side now, and Grealish, of course, on the left-hand side continues to look good for them. They're a very, very good team. Defensively, Diaz and Laporte played in this one, Rob. Walker was the insurance policy on the right-hand side. Cancelo did all the things that he's good at on the left. Very, very impressive, Man City. No question, very impressive.
Yeah, I thought it was an important day for Pep and his team as well, just to kind of re-establish themselves and a little bit of standing in the league. I think if they were to get beat on that one, I think people would start talking the doom and gloom, and there's no centre forward, which we know this guy can play without one. The system's well set up. I mean, also controlled Chelsea, where Chelsea didn't have a shot on target in the whole 90 minutes.
They played like champions, Rob. They played like champions. Yeah. All I would say is, right, and of course, we watch the game and we formulate some thoughts and we make some notes. My last bit on in terms of the notes here is they've got to try and maintain that mojo every week. And I think that's going to be the key to this season. Chelsea have taken it on the chin there. They take them on the chin. But I'm not necessarily thinking, because City looked a better team. They looked a better team. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that's going to translate over 38 games, because I think, I don't know, in certain matches, certain times in the season, they might just drop off a little bit. Again, could be wrong. I was wrong last year.
Yeah, that's going to be the test, isn't it? And the other thing I would say in their favour, Rob, is they've got plenty of numbers, quality players who can come in, who can change it a little bit. Sterling can come in, and, you know, Gundogan can come in.
And Mahrez can come in.
Yeah, so there is, you know, John Stone still to be added. There's no doubt Ruben Dias, when he's in the team, makes a difference for him, Rob, though. You know, just look at his numbers when he's around, and completely different. But yeah, big win for Manchester City and Pep establishing themselves, just getting one over Chelsea. And I think also a little lesson for Thomas Tuchel, really, that, you know, Champions League's one thing and great credit for winning that. But he's, you know, 38 game season in the Premier League is going to be a tough old slog, and they're going to have to do it week in, week out. Just wanted to turn your attention, Rob, to two players who probably, certainly one feels like he's sitting on the outside of the best 11 in Timo Werner. The other, Gabriel Jesus. I was kind of looking at those, just thinking about those two, Rob, and thinking, well, you know, Jesus should be his time now, and kind of playing on that right-hand side, doing a decent job. Werner will probably feel like he's got to wait for his opportunities. He plays as a sort of striker underneath Lukaku. Had a couple of half chances, dragged a couple of balls across the box, but didn't really look that cutting edge. I mean, if you had the choice of one, if those as a striker in your team, who would you take?
Probably Jesus. I think Timo Werner. Yeah, and I also like Jesus's, I like his attitude, and every time Pep talks about him,
yeah, I was just going to say,
he was glowingly, deserves everything that he gets. Mm. He's such a good pro. Yeah. The Chelsea starting lineup made sense. We've seen him play three in midfield when the opponents are pretty good in there. And I think you can safely assume that that's a thinking this time of Man City midfield. Kovacic, Kante and Jorginho made sense. But it still didn't stop the football. And then the thought of Timo Werner alongside Lukaku also made sense. They're going to be counter-attacking. Two quick players that are good on the counter. But they City's press was so strong, Rob, that there was hardly any moments where Chelsea's midfield players could take the time, get their head up and play Lukaku or Werner in behind or in spaces. Couple of times first half, mate. A couple of times. So it was just down to City's a brilliant job in terms of the pressing. But Werner, you know, Havertz came on, the fans went crazy. I think they prefer to see him in the starting lineup. But Werner, I don't know where it goes from here, mate. I when you got Lukaku, who's going to be the number nine, we got Sick to come back, of course, and Mount to come back. And I don't know if there's a big future for Timo Werner, Rob. And he might stay this season. Unless he starts to show some progression, improvement in this team when he gets the opportunity. Yeah. Tough opportunity against Man City, I get it. But, yeah, we're not seeing it yet. And it's, it's been a little bit of time now. Mm. Thomas Tuchel's like, okay, things, he probably knows it. This league's hard. Man, he ain't going to, you know, he's not going to cruise to this title, no chance. He's not going to cruise to it for sure.
Let's move on to a big game at Old Trafford. I was working on this game, did a commentary with Andres Cantor, who we had on our podcast last week, and it was great to have him on and great to work with him. We did the Manchester United-Villa game. It was a decent game, plenty of shots. Manchester United, I think, had 25, although not many great looks, to be honest. Villa had less shots, but probably better opportunities to score. Villa won it 1-0. Manchester United, Rob, disappointed. If you think about the team from last season, second in the Premier League, you had Varane, you had Sancho, you had Ronaldo to the pot, and the expectation goes up, the belief goes up that Manchester United lost six games at home at Old Trafford last season. They can't afford to go anywhere near that amount of defeats if they think they're going to be challenging for a title. And this was a little bit like United of last year, Rob, with some better additions, but similar kind of performance. I mean, not great, they're playing out the back. Not great identity of what they're trying to do. Yes, there was chances, there was shots on goal, but not much created in a way where you say, that's really good football. Martinez came up with a few decent saves. Bruno bangs one over the top. You know, maybe in defence, you could say he lost Maguire and Shaw to injury in the first half that was would have maybe affected them. But it certainly left me thinking there's work to do for Manchester United. There's work to do for Ollie, Rob.
Yeah, just really disappointing, Rob. Really disappointing for those Man United fans that have been so euphoric with Ronaldo's return in the first game and Ronaldo getting a couple of goals. They should be better than this, Rob. I mean, disjointed, sporadic, off the cuff, lacking strategy, lacking sparkle all of a sudden. Still, I'm just reading out some notes I made. Still a team of moments. And most importantly, still inconsistent. And I'm sure we've said it almost every show about United. This looks exciting with all the players they've got, the attacking threat they've got, the defensive improvements in Varane. But it's his job to make this team consistent and to be strong and a team. And they're still not a team. There's two new players, Rob. Sancho's didn't start this game. Ronaldo and Varane. And they still don't look like a team. They look like a tip that when you watch a game at the moment, there's a bunch of players that play in the attack and a bunch of players that play defensively. They're not a unit defensively. They're not a unit attacking wise. So they look vulnerable. They look stretched, not just against Aston Villa, but in other games. And we've talked before about the drama that United have got points. They've lost. They lost in the League Cup. They lost to Young Boys in the Champions League. They had a narrow victory against West Ham with a noble missed penalty. And now they lose at home to Aston Villa. It's going to unravel for the manager. This is.
Well, David Ornstein was on today.
I didn't see that.
And he said, you know, contrary to what some people think, Ole might be on thin ice if this continues. He said it's not something that Man United are prepared to put with. They backed a manager with money, with resources.
It's just a new contract, Rob. It's just signed a new contract.
Well, I'm only saying what David said in that it might not be as like, because I think Rebecca was sort of saying, well, how long do you think? And I said, it's a season's worth. It's a season review unless it goes out the Champions League in the group stage and they drop down the league into fifth or sixth, and then that's different. But otherwise, it's a look at the season. It's where they finished. It's what they've done. It's how close they were to whatever they are trying to win. And it's interesting. So the League Cup one's interesting because it plays a sort of second-tier team against West Ham United. He loses a game, which is disappointing. One, it's another cup. Win it. Just win it. You know, I know it's not the most important, but win something. The other thing, Rob, is most of those players, the first 11 who played yesterday, rested in the League Cup. So it was mainly the backup players who played in the League Cup. Mm. What you don't want is all your backup players not quite being good enough to come in. I mean, they were the only one of the big six teams to lose in the League Cup. And most of them play their backup teams or you know,
a combination. All teams do, I think.
Yeah. But Manchester United still didn't get the job done. Now, you know, you can argue West Ham were maybe better than some of the opposition, but I just think those are the kind of things that are going to work against Ole in the long run if he's not careful. Those are the things people are going to bash him over the head with.
Let's try and be a bit more specific, Rob, in terms of what it is that's not going well. I know we've talked about Freddie McTominay a lot, but the ability to play out from the back
is not good enough.
Those two central midfield players
is not good enough.
And then from there, the ability to control a game, in possession, to be available, to switch it, to play into a striker, to switch it to the fullback. You know, control games and to control territory. You expect United to be camped in somebody's half.
Defensive midfield players now, Rob. Also, Thomas Partey did it a couple of times today, and I was watching tape of him because I did a little breakdown on him. Enough a really good passer with the ball. N'Golo Kante passes the ball well. You know, Fabinho can pass the ball. Rodri, all those players who play in those big positions.
Yeah, you've got to be good.
Playoff. You've got to be good to start the passing movements to go. Manchester United haven't got that in Fred and McTominay. They're both, McTominay's got a presence about him. I quite like what he offers, but he hasn't got that real steely clinical pass that he can dissect midfields and open things up, or doesn't play quick enough at times. And that's a piece that they're missing, that they continue to miss. And it's the way they play, because they are so disjointed. It's a bit of a problem. I just wonder, I see Varane once or twice on the ball, almost trying to do it. I'm wondering if it's a role that he might have to take up if they are to play that way.
Yeah, I think there's some real quality in that team, and there's some areas that need the quality to knit it together, Rob. I just wanted to get my little opinion out on the big decisions, actually. It was Mike Dean, wasn't it? Mike Dean was the referee.
Yeah.
I thought it was offside. I think Ollie Watkins is right in front of the, and he's made contact with the goalkeeper.
Harvey Barnes, isn't it? It was like the Harvey Barnes last week. He's in contact with the goalkeeper.
This one, I think he's in contact just before he fits the head is made.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in a position that he could have maybe preferred to be in that instance.
Yeah, I was affected, I thought he affected goalkeeper, but VAR apparently looked at it and said it was okay. So I
just stunned that that's not interfering with play where he stops a goalkeeper from being in the place where he wants to be.
I watched the game and listened
to your commentary and I know you two guys said the same thing.
Yeah.
The other one where I think I also thought the handball was a bit harsh. It's right by his side. I mean, it was out a little bit, Rob. Like, I thought
a bit Ben Davies to me last week at the Palace. It felt more like that. I mean,
I know they're subjective. But Mike Dean, didn't think he had a great game. But anyway, that doesn't take away from them. That's just a side note.
Yeah.
Of course, the big story here is Man United. And the manager's ability to get this really, really good squad of players to play like a team and to be strong and solid and consistent, and another bad day for them today.
Tell you who did play like a team, and I want to just turn the attention to Aston Villa, by the way, we must do.
Yes. We're excellent.
Twanzebe couldn't play, so Horse came in with Mings and Konsa at the back.
Yeah.
Matty Cash was outstanding on the right-hand side.
Very, very good.
Target on the left-hand side. Then they have the three midfield players of Jacob, Louise and McGinn, who I think bossed the midfield, were better. And up front, Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings, who maybe didn't get goals, but continue to push and challenge United down the sides. Got one-on-one, made it difficult. Ollie Watkins looked sharp around the box. Didn't think Danny Ings had his greatest game, but you always know what you'll get in terms of effort and teamwork. And they were better set up. They were more suited to what they were going to do. And I have to say, Rob, I'm going to give my underappreciated player of the week to Douglas Luiz, who I thought was the best midfield player out on show. I thought he outshone Bruno. He was better than Pogba and anything Manchester United had. Yeah. And when I look at what Manchester United miss in that controlled footballer, Douglas Luiz is that
he can control the game. He can control the game.
He can see a pass forward. He can you know, continuity where he's going to pass it from side to side. I thought he was outstanding. His ball suit to the front players, his tactical understanding. Once or twice, he's clever with the possession and protects the ball and wins free kicks. I thought he was really, really good. And you know, at a time when often we look for pace and power and size in there, there's a real technical operator who's a really good pickup for Aston Villa. And I have to say, I thought Villa were good. I thought they were worthy of the win, Rob, in the end.
Yeah, it's a great shout. It's a great shout. And this is why we do this little thing every weekend, Rob, to try and highlight players that fly under the radar a little bit. I haven't got the big names sometimes, but I totally agree. I thought John McGinn as well, Rob, in that midfield. I think he's having a good season. And I'm pleased for Dean Smith, his reaction. I mean, it's pretty special, mate, for Dean Smith to go to Old Trafford and win a game like that. I just felt good for him. And Matty Cash at right wing back. God,
telling you what, Gareth Southgate was at the game. You might want to look at him. And I think Matty Cash is talking about going to play for Poland because his mum's Polish and he'd get Polish.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah, he'd totally play. Yeah.
Tell you what, looked pretty really good to me.
Well done, Aston Villa.
Yeah, let's move on to probably the most entertaining game of the weekend. 6 goals, 3 for Brentford, 3 for Liverpool. Just one of them games you look back on, Rob, and smile. It kind of was a bit end-to-end, a bit basketball, one where both coaches could have lots to look at and work at. But I think huge credit has to go to Brentford. I mean, down twice in the game, 2-1, 3-2, come back, have a go. Yeah. You know, with names that many of our listeners and viewers may not know, you know, is certainly not regular Premier League names. But this team, Ivanov got a spirit about them. Don't know if play good football. Can't, you know, got mixed up. And Bomo and Tony, two centre forwards who are going to give the best trouble. I mean, Virgil van Dijk had his hands full, my friend.
As did the Liverpool team.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic. And you say in the game of the weekend, and it was the game of the weekend, Rob, on the back of a Chelsea and City game, a North London derby, and yet what Brentford are bringing to this league in a stadium, what is it again? Is it 13,000 or something?
Like a community stadium, yeah.
It's new, but it's small, and it's just brilliant what they're doing. And the way that Thomas Frank has is playing, he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He's going to say he's going to attack for every minute that was possible. They're going to try and win every game. They went toe-to-toe with Liverpool, and they were okay with an open game, and they give them a right good game in all areas of the field, from the midfield area to the attack front two players against the back four. Liverpool are looking good. They're looking very, very good. Yeah. I mean, Diogo Jota, again, I mean, have we seen a better header, a goal-scoring header of a ball, such a small guy?
Somebody who's not that big, yeah. Brilliant timing. He gets good positions between centre-backs or full-back and centre-back. Brings another kind of dimension to Liverpool because they're not really... Goals. There weren't many headed goals, though, was there, from Liverpool in the past? No. It's all lovely football and shots and passing it into the net. But he just gives them that ability to sling a ball in, and whether it's Robertson and Trent on the outside or Henderson, who loves that ball into the box. Yeah, he just... brings another dimension that's exciting. And what was great about the game was both were sort of going at it to win it. Nobody was happy with the draw. Brentford, I think, was sniffing like a famous win against Liverpool. Liverpool are thinking, we've got to beat Brentford. They've just been promoted and we want to go top of the table, which they did in the end by the odd point. But it was just a brilliant match. And little tip of the hat to, I think, as well, to Mo Salah. I think he might have been your underappreciated player of the week a couple of weeks ago. It's a great shot. 100 goals, Rob, in 151 games for Liverpool. I mean, Mike Liverpool, the fastest of any player in the club history, just speaks volumes of what he does on a regular basis. And having got one, actually, it was a day he could have got two or even three.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, Rob, about players need to be consistent and stuff. I mean, how consistent is Mo Salah? It's almost every game he plays... you really know what you're going to get. And that is good stuff. It's getting chances to score. He's not going to score every game, but, man, he's going to get chances to score in every single game, whether he takes them or not. I mean, again, another goal in this one, and that's pretty amazing, 100 goals in 151 while playing from a wider position. I mean, he is a special, special player. I mean, I read somebody on social media saying that, is he the best player in the world right now?
Mm.
Probably. Possibly is. The best player in the world right now is Mo Salah. When you think about Messi and Ronaldo, you think about Neymar and Mbappe.
Haaland.
Erling Haaland, of course, you'd say him. But anyway.
Lewandowski,
Lewandowski, of course, I thought it was a good shout. Actually, it's a reasonable shout. Just back on Brentford, Rob, just so we can go back and forth on this a little bit. What I think... seeing a weaker team, right? A weaker team, so-called weaker team, being expansive and proactive I love it because the general perception is that you can't do that. And I know that the Newcastle United fans, Rob, want something more progressive from Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
And I think when they see a team like Brentford and a manager as young and as progressive as Thomas Frank do this. That's I think that's where some of it comes from. We're not just Newcastle. I'm sure there's some other clubs that feel like we want some young, exciting manager to play like that at our football club. It's just again, the little lap of honour at the end, it seems a bit over the top, but why not when things are going well and the support's been so amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to get that point in about.
I mean, the point that smacked to me of Brentford from the weekend was twofold, really. It reminds me a little bit of Leeds last season where, do you know what? The Premier League's a better league with this team in it. And it's great that they've come up with a identity, a sense of personality, and they're going to stick to it, Rob. And they're not going to bunker in like Norwich and try and hit on the counter-attack and have the odd chances and lose 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 and had a go. They're going to have the ball. They're going to create chances. They're going to get beat on some days and they'll brush themselves down, but they're going to beat others. And they look well capable of being mid-table and safe. And listen, we're very early on and we know things can go wrong quite quickly and we can go on long runs. But the manager, the players... and the setup of this football club tells me how it's run and the way they buy players and the profile of players who are all a bit hungry, Rob, all with a bit of something to prove. tells me that this club's going to be okay.
Yeah, they're onto something. And it's not just about the attacking players or strikers that have been sold to other clubs that we know all about. Norgaard in midfield, Rob. It's not just about forwards and attacking players. They've got it figured out with their recruitment. Back in the defensive unit, it's very similar. The boy from Celtic's just in there. Aya is in there. Other than that, there's a lot of continuity in there. And they know what they're doing. Yeah, it's a great story. Of course, long way to go. We know that. But what a game. What a game of football it was. Yeah. And I thought it summed up with the embrace of the two managers afterwards.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure Jurgen
Klopp's frustrated
he didn't get 3 points there. But wow, what a great game of football. And again, an advert. And I don't want to keep going on about it, Rob, but the Premier League, I mean, particularly this year, it's a fun league with great teams at the top and great teams that maybe you expect to be around the bottom as well. So totally, really, really enjoyed the game. Superb stuff. Last comment, just saw a note here.
Yeah.
I just thought Henderson, you know, and I know that you love Jordan Henderson. I think the midfield now, Curtis Jones scores a wonderful goal, but Fabinho Henderson and one other, isn't it? I mean, it just is. Yeah. It just is. I mean, there's a sense that maybe you could go for a bit more with Thiago's and and Elliot when he comes back. Yeah, Henderson and Fabinho. It's got to be two of the three of those two. Drive that he gives across for the goal. Very, very good Henderson, I thought, as well.
I think there's some talk that Rebecca might be doing an interview with him this week on Thursday, actually. So that'd be interesting here. Now he's signed a contract and what he's looking forward to now in the next stage of his career. But yeah, it's so, so important, the captain. It's a good shout just to mention him. Okay, mate, let's move on to the other game today, the early kickoff. Southampton 0, Wolves 1. Raul Jimenez scores for the first time in nearly a year since that horrific head injury. And maybe Southampton fans are poor. I think everybody in football was just pleased for him, for the goal, for the nature of the goal, Rob, which I thought was outstanding. It was sort of Jimenez back in the day. And the celebrations with the Wolves fans and his teammates was, again, something that, you know, in this league, you're just so pleased to see. Because there must have been, at some point, a time when, you know, we weren't sure of whether we'd see Raul Jimenez back on a pitch, and certainly not scoring goals for Wolves.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think he said himself, like, how lucky he is to be back out there. And I think, you know, it's kind of time was going on, but he's got his goal. Although Bruno Lage made some ballsy calls, Rob, in terms of his lineup and switching out the wide players.
Traore, to
switch those. And there is some decent players there. Pedro Neto's to come back into this team as well. That's a player that I absolutely love to bits as well. Yeah. So, you know, I think we feel with Bruno Lage is Wolves. It's like, well, you know, is this going to be good or is this going to be a struggle? Yeah. I think we know that Southampton are going to have a bit of a struggle up this season, potentially. Big win for Wolves, the manager, those decisions that he made. I think that sort of those sort of big calls does get the respect of the dressing room. But the biggest headline, the one real headline is Raul Jimenez, Rob, and getting that goal and the embrace, etc., the celebrations. I mean, that's a, you know, that was a very important day for him. Yeah, it really was.
Absolutely, gets his first, and don't be surprised if he goes on a run again now and starts getting a few more. Just a quick look at a few other results. Leeds 1, West Ham 2. West Ham continues to go with David Moyes. Mikel Antonio yet again coming up with a win. I mean, what a player he's been for West Ham this season. Leicester 2, Burnley 2. Russell Conan getting his goal. Conor getting his goal for Burnley. Two goals from Jamie Vardy and an own goal. So interesting day for him and Brendan Rodgers. Just not quite going as probably Brendan would have planned right now for Leicester.
Yeah, it absolutely isn't. And I think of these games, these other results, I think the narratives continue. You know, West Ham United flying.
Yeah.
Leeds struggling.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, Leicester and Burnley 2-2. Mm. Like, yeah, you know, it continues the story of Leicester where something's just not quite right there at the moment. You know, whatever it is, it's tough to put your finger on it. Still a very talented squad. Everton, I continue to like what's happening at Everton. And, you know, I know it's not the most glamorous right now. And I know it's not, you know, it's some are not thrilled about Rafa Benitez. I think he can do a really solid job there.
Getting goals is absolutely same narrative. What we've said.
He's doing it. And then Newcastle again, you know, Watford 1-1. So nothing, you know, those results pretty much nothing's really changed, you know, where some of the bigger ones that we've been more in depth with, Rob, there's kind of some pretty important differences in what we've seen. So all in all, though, mate, I know we've got one more game tomorrow on the Monday. But again, another fantastic, entertaining Premier League weekend. Loved it.
As ever, mate, it was good to speak. I had Andres Cantwell last week. I was wondering whether to make a transfer, but I'll give you another week. I'll give you Wayne. We'll see from there. As you say, another super week of Premier League football. Bragging rights and the points go to Arsenal as they blew Spurs away in the big North London derby. We'll be back on Wednesday, that's September the 29th, and we'll talk about the second round of the Champions League. And we'll also have a word on Brighton. Graham Potter, they beat Palace tomorrow and go top of the table, and it's called the M23 Derby. Sorry about that, but anyway. Well, for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.